They chose to do this show for all the best reasons.
Representing an industry that places crushing standards on all of us.
I can't hide it when I'm bored.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The next generation of KGO Radio is on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. And I welcome my next guest to the show. She is Tiffany. How do I pronounce your name? Is it Devitt?
Devitt, you got it.
Devitt, all right. And you are a researcher with Care by Design, and you're in Santa Rosa, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to talk about California-based medical marijuana and research that you've done and how this compares to narcotics and antidepressants and tranquilizers, beta blockers, antipsychotics, all of these medications. So where do you want to begin? Because, you know, and the medical marijuana thing is such a wonderful thing, but I'm not sure it works for everyone. I mean, I've talked to people who say, you know, say things like, well, it didn't really help me. So do you want to start with PTSD? Let's start with that.
Sure. And I'm sure you're right that medical marijuana doesn't work for everyone and it's not appropriate for everyone. But a good place to start, when you and I were in school and we studied biology, we did not hear about the endocannabinoid system.
That's right.
The endocannabinoid system, of course, was discovered in like the late 80s and the early 90s. And it was a series of discoveries by scientists both in the U.S. and abroad. And what they found was that we have a system which is basically responsible for homeostasis in the body. You know, it's our internal thermostat, if you will, our balancing mechanism. And it's impacted by or it's affected and regulated by what are called endocannabinoids, meaning natural cannabinoids, things that we produce ourselves as well as by the plant. So with PTSD, which I'm glad we're talking about PTSD because there's some really, really fascinating research out there. So the endocannabinoid system, one thing it does is it works on stress. So, for example, if your fight or flight reflex is triggered, it's actually the endocannabinoid system that turns the stress hormones back down, right?
Okay.
So it made sense to us and other scientists that cannabinoid therapy may in fact be useful for PTSD. And there was a really fascinating study that was done by a team of U.S. and Canadian scientists. And what they looked at was 46 subjects who lived near the World Trade Center in New York after the 9/11 attacks. And 24 of the subjects had PTSD and 22 did not. And all they did in this study was they measured their what's called anandamide levels, meaning they measured what their levels of endogenous cannabinoid compounds were. And what they found was that those people who had PTSD were deficient in their internal self-generated cannabinoids, whereas the people who did not suffer from PTSD after that attack, they had normal levels of endocannabinoids. And that's fascinating. It sort of gives you a view into the scientific basis for why cannabinoid therapy may be of use for some people with PTSD.
Right. Now, I think one of the problems that, you know, people have is that they don't know where to get the right information or when they go, there are good dispensaries, there are bad dispensaries, and there are best dispensaries. And, you know, you need to find out this information. Not everybody wants to go there to get high. So if I want, if I'm looking for a painkiller, I'm having anxiety issues, I don't know any of these things. I need specifics. I need someone to tell me exactly what I need for pain.
That's right. You know, the interesting thing about medical marijuana is a lot of people think about it as a cover for recreational use, right? Or a smokescreen, if you will, for recreational use. But what's really interesting about what we're seeing up in Santa Rosa with the medical marijuana and with Care by Design in particular, is that there's a huge demand for what's known as CBD-rich cannabis medicines.
Right.
And what CBD is, of course, it's another compound in the plant. There's THC, which we've all heard of. That's what gets you high.
Right.
There's CBD, and then there's lots of different terpenes, which have different medicinal effects. we're seeing that there's a huge demand for CBD-rich cannabis therapeutics, which do not get people high.
Right, that would be the cannabidiol oil, right?
The cannabidiol, yeah.
Cannabidiol,
yeah.
It's a mouthful.
And it can come as an oil, it can come in gel caps, it can come in sublingual sprays and edibles, any number of different forms. So there are basically, well, Care by Design specifically has a set of ratios ranging from anywhere from 18 to 1 CBD to THC, which is not going to get you high, to 1 to 1 THC CBD. And the question of what ratio one should take is a tricky one. It's a tricky one, largely because there's not a lot of clinical research out there and there's no clinical human trials in the U.S. Owing to the fact that it's still a Schedule One drug.
And I want to bring this up, Tiffany. By the way, if you want to comment on any of this, if you have tried cannabis and if you've tried the, what she's talking about, the CBDs, 808-0810, did it help you? Did it not help you? What are your questions about this? Now, you mentioned the Schedule One, and in a lengthy memo to lawmakers, the Drug Enforcement Administration said, and I think this came out today or yesterday, that they're going to look at changing this in the first half of 2016. Marijuana is currently listed under the Controlled Substances Act as a Schedule One drug, meaning that, you can't do anything with it. It's classified the same thing as cocaine and heroin, which is ridiculous.
Right. So as you say, they're looking at it descheduling. It would be huge, and it would be huge for two reasons that are kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. One reason it would be huge if marijuana was descheduled is because it would allow researchers to do clinical trials so that we can get to the bottom of what cannabinoid profile and what terpene profile works for what sort of person and what condition. So that's the big change that might happen. The second change that will happen if marijuana is descheduled is right now, all the hundreds of different cannabis businesses, medical marijuana businesses in California and elsewhere, they can't have bank accounts.
Yes, I know. Exactly. Right. Where
because
do they put all this cash? It's insane.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And it's a tremendous risk in terms of individuals' personal safety. It also makes it really difficult for the state and local municipalities to collect taxes.
No, they're not getting their tax money. This happened in San Jose, and, they shut a lot of places down because they felt as though they were not getting their tax money.
Yeah, and it's not easy. I do want to come back to your question, though, about what ratio works for what condition.
Okay.
Care by Design also did another survey of several hundred patients. We surveyed a couple thousand patients, actually, and asked them, what are you taking cannabis therapy for, and what ratio are you using, and what kind of effect are you having, right?
Right.
So it was kind of a little bit of a blunt or general survey because we were just looking at has your pain improved, has your well-being improved, has your sleep improved, et cetera. And what we found was that first off, people were taking a wide variety of ratios for a wide variety of conditions, but there were certain patterns that emerged. So, for example, the people who reported the best outcome with pain tended to be taking a more balanced ratio of CBD to THC. So people who had pain tended to do best on a 2-to-1 ratio or a 4-to-1 ratio.
So these are these hybrids or these Kush. Is that what it's referred to as?
No, I mean,
I don't know my lingo, but.
Yeah, no, that's okay. There's a couple different paradigms, and it's no wonder why you're confused. The traditional way of thinking about cannabis is you have indica and sativa.
Right.
And
I always think that's...
Yeah, it's a bit like saying you have red wine and white wine, right?
Right, so yes, sativa true. Is the high, but the indica is the CBD.
Well, no.
No.
I mean, indica is... high CBD strains do tend to be high indica, but not all indicas have CBD in them.
Oh, okay. I've got to take a break, but yeah, this is certainly an education to me. Okay, 808-0810. We have some calls on, you know, pro and con on this. But stay right there because we'll continue the discussion. I'm curious. I mean, again, have you tried medical marijuana for antidepressants or anxiety, for sleeping instead of using the Ambien, mood stabilizers? Have you tried to kick the Xanax habit by trying pot? I mean, medical marijuana. I mean, because these are all the ways you get prescriptions. And of course, if you've got pain for any reason and you want to get off the narcotics, it's another good reason that you would probably want to try. And did it work? 808-0810 is the number. And we'll continue our conversation in just a minute on KGO 810. Right now.
In me, and then along comes Mary. Then along comes Mary.
Along comes Mary. Yes. Was it originally done by the Association or something in the 60s? Nice. All right. Very good. We're chatting about marijuana and cannabis and how it compares to other treatments for other things such as anger, irritability, anxiety, depression, pain, sleep disorders, and the importance of getting it right and to be able to do that research. And I'm speaking with Tiffany DeVitt. She's a researcher with Care by Design in Santa Rosa, California. And they are a California-based medical marijuana company, and they have done all these surveys with these people who are suffering from PTSD and other things that I mentioned. And Tiffany, let me see here. I want to take some calls here. 808-0810 is the number if you want to weigh in or if you have some comments. Richard, good evening. You're on KGO.
Yeah, hello. I'm a clinical psychologist in Marin County, a family therapist. I want to begin with, hello?
Mm-hmm. You're on. Go ahead. Yes, we're here.
How presumptuous you all were when you began it. When you said we all agree that the negative information about marijuana is just that, I'm not in agreement and it's not useful to be making these assumptions that we all agree. And I'll tell you why I don't agree and wouldn't be included as a professional in this hyperbole that's being conveyed, whether it's an informal study by individuals who have a vested interest in the marijuana. Let me tell you something. What you're bringing up is what I see in my practice that is initiated and promoted by the use of marijuana. That's inclusive of anxiety disorder, anger, management that's required, amotivational syndrome. And if you want to see a real study, not what's being talked about here, which is not that from an empirical and scientific point of view, pull up the study that came out last week out of New Zealand. It was a longitudinal study about the long-term effects, a 30-year study of the effects of marijuana when it's begun in adolescence. The brain doesn't form formally until 25 years of age. So you're doing a tremendous disservice here.
And okay, all right. Well, let me wait a minute.
If you were to talk to the families that I deal with and see their early adults decompensate.
Well, I think I would agree with you that, yes, the children should not be smoking marijuana or using any of the CBD things. Tiffany, would you like to respond?
Sure. A couple of thoughts on that. One is that the surveys that I mentioned, both the general one on what sort of ratios and conditions people are using it for and the one on PTSD, that is a survey funded by a medical marijuana company. And we state that in the document up front, that there are limitations to that survey, not just because it's funded by a medical marijuana company, but because the population who are surveying obviously is going to be skewed towards those who are finding benefit. Now, my point is that the intention with that study and with any of the patient surveys we do is to find out how people are using it in their self-reported effects in order to suggest areas.
There's such a thing in AA and Marijuana Anonymous called stinking thinking. And what you're going to hear by subjects who are using it is cognitive dissonance. But of course, they're going to have to say it's beneficial. What I'm telling you, and I'm not being lassoed into the idea that it's just with kids, we're talking about something that's wrecking people and it's wrecking families. And when you're talking about anecdotal evidence, it's not worth a damn. If you pull up this study, which you may or may not be aware of, out of New Zealand, that was done from a scientific point of view, you'll find that what they're reporting is what I see in my practice.
Okay, and we did see that. Yes, yes, with younger people. Yes,
devastating. What you're doing with this condom, which is pretty much.
Well, we're talking about, sir.
It's criminal.
Okay, all right.
So two thoughts on that. One is you're citing one New Zealand study. I haven't seen it. If you go to PubMed and you look up cannabinoids, cannabidiol, THC, you will see that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of studies done by credible institutions and medical researchers about the health benefits of cannabis-based compounds for a variety of conditions.
Look, I know what he was talking about. That study was he was speaking specifically to, you know, younger generation and to children. And I think we all agree that that's a no-go area. I don't think there's any I don't think there's any disagreement with that. Except,
I had a child who had Devet syndrome, intractable epilepsy that doesn't respond.
That's right. With convulsions, you know. Yes, and seizures. Yeah. Right. Yes.
So I think it's a matter of the condition. I do think that there are some people who have addiction problems, and that can play out with marijuana, just like it can play out with Adderall or alcohol or any number of other substance. So I'm not making the case that marijuana is good for every single person, and nor am I making the case that some people don't abuse it. What I am saying is that there are demonstrable health benefits to it. And the research, to your point about descheduling it as a drug, what's needed right now is research into appropriate therapeutics and appropriate usage in order to make full use of its benefits without having this process of trial and error.
Well, and so we hope that this will all end when the Drug Enforcement Administration changes their federal status in the next few months. And then it can be officially studied like that, I do believe, doctor wanted it to be, and we'll see. And we shall see. And I thank you very much, Tiffany, for speaking with us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Thank you, Tiffany DeVitt, researcher with Care by Design and all things about CBD. And we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Let's check the traffic situation with Lee Graham.
In history, she bangs.
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way.
Thank
she...
you.
Thank you.
You can't sing. You can't dance. So what do you want me to say?
I already gave my best, and I have no regrets at all.
Good for you.
That's good. That's good.
That's the best attitude yet.
You know, I have no professional training of singing
no.
or dancing, so.
Well, there's the surprise of the century.
William, you're the best. You're the best.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
have
you,
a great
William.
Day.
Okay.
Thank you, William.
You too. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. American Idol wrapping up tonight. And yes, and so your two finalists are LaPorsche Renee and Trent Harmon. And we'll find out who the last American Idol is shortly. But, you know, back through the years, my God, what a sensation it was. I mean, it was so much fun. American Idol, the singing competition television series created by Simon Fuller, produced by 19 Entertainment, was first aired June 11th of 2002. That's a long time ago. So 14 years ago. And it's kind of funny because, wow, I remember, you know, and I was on the radio in Chicago doing mornings, and it was such a sensation. It was the go-to topic almost every morning that show was on. And it was constantly number one until probably, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Probably like season 5 with Taylor Hicks, Jordan Sparks, it started dying. I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, especially the last few years, it's just, I don't know. Did we run out of talent in America, or were we just tired of the talent show? I'm not sure which one it is. But by the way, I do want to mention this. They're already making plans to bring an American Idol back in some way. Fox is spending the whole week saying goodbye to Idol. And the last couple nights have been great because they've been doing the retrospectives. So if you missed that and you can watch that on demand, it's worth watching because they go back all the way to 2002. But the creator, Simon Fuller, says, quote, there will no doubt be another format or a refinement of or elevation of that format. And now I can actually revamp it and come up with a new version. So it'll be the next generation of Idol. You know, so they're going to have to do something. But let's go through. We'll have some fun and see if you remember some of the stars, and then we'll talk about them, all right? So here we go. The first winner was, oh, by the way, this is great. So in case you don't know, this young lady knows all 14 or 15, I guess, what are we, we're at season?
This is season 15, so there have been 14 previous winners.
Yeah, so this young lady knows the winners of all 14 seasons so far. Let's hear.
I can do this. Okay. First year was Kelly Clarkson. Second year was Ruben Studdard. Third year was Fantasia. Fourth year was Carrie Underwood. Fifth year was Taylor Hicks. Sixth year was Jordan Sparks. Seventh year was Chris Allen. No, seventh year was David Cook. Eighth year was Chris Allen. Ninth year was Lee DeWise. 10th year was Scotty McCreery. 11th was Phillips. 12th was Candace Glover, 13th was Caleb Johnson, and 14th was Nick Ferrandi, or however you pronounce it, yes. And 15th here is going to be me.
Whoever those last guys were. So, yes, the first one was the beloved Kelly Clarkson. She's had a lot of...
Thursday, first kiss, we were checking off the list, and you were getting down on your knee. And you didn't have to guess, it was always a yes. Now there's two less wishing to see. Let's set the date! Let's have a bed! Let's cut the cake! Tie up the cans! I love the ring of your name, you're the yin of my yang. Oh baby, let's give it a shot. Every wall needs a frame, every ball needs a chain.
I love looking back on these because, you know, I go back through the years and I remember some of these. Addicted, let me see, Breakaway from 2004, and let me see. Well, she's had so many hits. Songs, let me see. I Do Not Hook Up, Don't Waste Your Time, Addicted, I mentioned that, Run, 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 The Trouble With You Is, Silent
Because
Night.
Of You?
Yeah, Because of You, yes. Invincible, Already Gone. Already Gone, I think, was like her biggest hit. And To Catch My Breath, A Moment Like This, since You've Been Gone, my God, yeah, what a monster hit that was. Okay, and then, unfortunately, poor Ruben. We don't have music from Ruben. Yeah, I don't know why, but we don't. But Ruben was season number two. Now, season number three was Fantasia.
Have you ever?
I think one of the greatest thing about American Idol, and I know this is why it became the sensation that it was, is because it was something that the whole family could watch. I mean, then there would be no disagreements about anything. There wouldn't be any fighting. There wouldn't be any violence. Everybody could root together. And then it became like water cooler talk at work. You know, who do you think? Who should it be, Fantasia, or should it be Clay Aiken? Should it be Jordan Sparks? Should it be Taylor Hicks? Who should it be? And I remember that always being a big discussion when it came to American Idol. It was actually, you know, it became an American icon. The show itself did. And right after Fantasia, well, the next one I think is probably the biggest star. As a matter of fact, we have her talking about it. She talks about here about American Idol.
In some ways, it feels like it was a million years ago, and in some ways, it feels like it was just yesterday. I know I'm blessed, and I'm so happy that, you know, I still get to do what I love.
And that would be Carrie Underwood.
Last night, I got served a little bit too much of that poison, baby. Last night, I did things I'm not proud of, and I got a little crazy. Last night, I met a guy on the dance floor, and I
there you have Carrie Underwood. I would think, besides Kelly Clarkson, I guess it's a toss-up to who became the bigger star. Probably Carrie Underwood made the most bank, I would think, for sure. But, God, you know, I love them both so much. And they were so cool. And, you know, when they were doing the retrospective, they talked about Carrie. And she was just a poor old farm girl working on the farm and taking care of the cows. But that girl could sing. Boy, could she ever. I mean, you know, when they were doing the retrospective, it was just amazing that when she did her audition in front of Paula and Simon and Randy, as soon as she did her audition, they were like, wow, there's your winner. I mean, you know, they knew from the audition, this woman's it. All right, so moving along, the next one was... let me see here. Taylor Hicks, and we don't have audio from him, but he was season 5. And then season 6 was Jordan Sparks, who, you know, Jordan's been busy. She's out making the rounds again, and you know, she's making some noise. Let's listen to Jordan Sparks.
Boy, I think I'm gonna need a minute.
Very nice. Nicely done. All right. And then let me see. We are up to David Cook. David Cook was season 7. This is when I think that, and by the way, it wasn't his fault. And he's a great performer, and he's a wonderful guy. But the ratings started to fall off after season 7, I do believe. But here's David Cook. He was the winner.
When the light gets into your heart, baby, don't you forget about me.
All right, we're going to take a break. And then if you have any comments about American Idol, 808-0810, what do you remember? What were your favorite moments? And do you think anybody was robbed? Because there are some big stars out there who were not the winners. That's for sure. 808-0810 is the number, 8080-810. We'll be right back. But first, a look at traffic in the KGO Traffic Center.
810 Traffic.
With Lee Graham.
Sanjaya, you are safe.
Sanjaya, I don't think it matters anymore what we say, actually.
That's why I'm speaking.
No, I genuinely don't. I think you are in your own universe, and if people like you, good luck.
You can go to voteforthewors.com to keep up with that.
Sanjaya, you sang Stepping Out With My Baby. Randy thought it was like a high school talent show. Paula was surprised that you chose an old song. Simon thought it was weak and weird and lacked impact.
I think her favorite is definitely Sanjaya, because she was like bawling when he came up to her and hugged her.
Sanjaya, would you stand up, please? You sang Bathwater. America voted. And you are not going to be out in the center of the stage. You are safe. Take a seat.
You sang Bathwater. Oh, my God. That's awesome. That was season 6, right? Yeah. Sanjaya, the entire country. Remember, we made it all a joke. Everybody kept voting for him. It became one of those national things. Keep voting for Sanjaya. Sanjaya, 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 pants on fire. My pants on fire for Sanjaya. All right, let's go to the phones. We're talking about the memories of American Idol. Marilyn in Palo Alto. Good evening.
Oh, hi. I just turned the radio on, and I heard you talking about American Idol, and I heard it's going to, I guess this is the last season.
Yep, tonight's
the last night. When my daughter was having my grandson, he's now 13, I stayed in the room with her, and I turned it on, and there was American Idol, and that's what got me started, and, well, I've been there ever since.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, and it's one of those things that you could, as I mentioned, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Everybody could watch, and there was never any disagreement about what was going on. But I love the Sanjaya stuff. What season was that? Where'd we leave off?
Season 6.
That was season 6. Okay, so then the season 6 winner was Jordan Sparks. All right, and then we did David Cook, who was season 7. And next we're up to season 8. And Chris Allen. Let's take a listen to Chris Allen. Yeah, you gotta stop. Time we've been given it, this is all we got to. We gotta stop thinking it. Every second counts on the clock that's ticking. Gotta live like we're dying. Only got 86, 400 seconds in the day to turn it all around or to throw it all away. Gotta tell them that we love them while we got the chance to say. Gotta live like we're dying. Yeah, now I don't know what he's done since, but
I played that song so many times on an adult contemporary station that I DJ'd on.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, then it was. I mean,
it's such an earworm, too. It gets, like, stuck in your head. A lot of these songs are. But.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you just think of the millions and millions of dollars in revenue. And I have to tell you, I this is one of the things about American Idol that you might not know. When it first came out and it became a huge sensation with Kelly Clarkson and Ruben Studdard and Fantasia, even with Carrie Underwood, the record companies and the people in Hollywood and a lot of the big stars, the music stars, didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't want anything to do with it. They were like, you know what? These people did not pay their dues. They're on a freaking talent show, for God's sakes. You know what I'm saying? So a lot, they didn't get the respect. But then it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where when you had Carrie Underwood on and she won, you know, you had 30, 40 million people watching the television and the record company started paying attention. All right. So moving along here as we look at our retrospective of and look back at the years over the years of American Idol, we go next to, let's see, we are at season number... Where are we at? Were we at Lee DeWise? Lee DeWise is...
Season 9, I think.
Yeah, let me see here. I got to look at my list. Season 9, Lee DeWise. And I'm doing just fine. I'm always fighting on my feet. In the nick of time, I'm out of state of my teeth. I ain't calling stress. Good words ain't happened yet. Something's watching over me like sweet serendipity. What will be, will be. In the nick of time, I'm out of state of my teeth. I ain't calling stress. Nice. Okay. Well, the reason Randy Jackson stayed so long is because he was stuck in that chair. But I think they started to lose some of its punch when, you know, Simon left. I really do. I mean, you know, some of the judges. No offense to those guys now. I like Harry Connick Jr. and I like J-Lo and Keith Urban, but... You know, it's not Paula. We loved tuning in just to see if Paula was hammered. What was going on with Paula? I mean, that was part of the fun.
Well, you know what? The voice.
The goofy. And turns out that she was never drunk. I think that she was on pain medication because she had back problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was a little loopy. But people missed that and people loved that.
Well, and The Voice right now is the competition show, right? And they have the much more interesting judge dynamic with the relationships between them and all of that.
Well,
so
tell me what hits they've turned out. Just saying.
What? Well, The Voice, the judges are certainly the stars of The Voice, though.
I know.
Come on, Adam Levine.
But I don't know if there's been one artist that's been the winner of The Voice who's had a hit.
Probably not.
No,
I mean, I don't think so.
I
couldn't name one off the top of my head.
Okay. You know, I don't watch the show because I don't care for Adam Levine. But that's my own little problem. Now, moving on. Oh, who else doesn't care for him? Oh, Miley Cyrus doesn't care for him either. Apparently, they don't get along. Well, what can I say? I'll keep my comments to myself. Where are we? We are at, let me see.
Season 10.
Philip Phillips, everybody.
No. We haven't hit Scotty McCreery yet.
Oh, you're right. Scotty McCreery. I remember him. Yep. This was a good season. Okay, yeah, Scott McCreery. And I think he does have a country career for sure. And then, as I mentioned, Philip Phillips, he was season 11. Here he is.
So come on, come on.
It's a lot of fun looking back. I mean, even the seasons that I missed because, you know, I kind of felt